As we walk this journey called life, we seek to find those things that bring joy to our existence. We want to embrace love, desire, and passion through healthy human connections. We want and need to discover meaning to the steps we take daily, the challenges of breaking barriers stir up our spirit as we prove our individual importance. The value of life is precious as we assist others to discover their way. The legacy of our being is found in the donations we make in those outside of ourselves. Success in this journey takes focus and commitment to winning. The victory is in not allowing fractured beliefs of the masses to impact the rules we have made work for ourselves. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. We come to you 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 p.m., Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and Sunday at 8:30 Eastern Time. We have a platform for your voice to be heard, loud and clear and unfiltered. It is time that we speak for ourselves so that others completely understand the direction we want our country to go in. No longer can we sit on the sidelines and allow others to select our direction. It is time for people of color to use the internet to make sure their voices are heard beyond a couple of streets. Our thoughts and needs and desires need to be heard around the world. And Thoughts, Love, and Reflection is that platform that you can be assured that your thoughts and feelings will be respected and heard without challenge. It is time for us to come together and make sure that we're not left behind. This is your host, James T. Deshay, looking forward to have you call in to the show at 657-383-0309. 7 days a week, we want to be heard loud and clear.
USI never had it so good. 101.1 radio, the best R&B and hip hop music. The Quiet Storm every Friday and Saturday. Talk radio with the best host in the business. Sports talk radio every weekend night with Princess Cooper. Never had it so good radio now on 101.1, and it's 24/7, the world's best radio station.
In this political environment, we have to create a way for the people to have a voice. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is a platform that is open to people who want to expand their personal thoughts, issues, and concerns to a larger audience. The host, James T. Deshay, would like you to have an opportunity to co-host with him on very important topics of all kinds. These topics should have value to people across the country and come with a meaningful solution. All co-hosts could be considered for a monthly return date to promote businesses at a low cost that need an outlet. We are seeking to make it easy for entrepreneurs, public organizations, physicians, and others to get important information out to the general public. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Call into the show at 657-383-0309. If you are interested in exploring being a co-host, please email the staff at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com. The show is committed to turning the tides on the normal media platforms while giving a voice to the people. If you would like to be considered for a monthly co-host slot, call 407-394-9819.
Important life is and how it should not be wasted in terms of people jumping to major decisions when they're in an emotional state. It seems like too often people are driven to getting into serious
situation at very emotional times and find themselves possibly destroying their lives and the lives of others. And so we have to, at some point, spend some time reflecting to ourselves about how to gain complete control of our existence, over our emotions, and over our decisions, so that we do not destroy our lives and the lives of others in the midst of making devastating choices. I was reading a story today, and this is a story that happens way too often, where domestic violence turns into murder and can impact the lives of not only family members, but law enforcement. A man at the age of 35 or so decided that he was so angry that he was going to kill 8 people who were part of his family by marriage, as well as an officer. And why he did this has not been explained. But the point is that he has devastated the lives of a family and the life of somebody he did not know based on becoming emotionally unprepared to make any kind of decision. And at some point, we have to recognize that we have a out of control mental ability and seek to gain some control or structure over it so that we don't destroy ourselves. Family members need to be willing or able to step into a situation and tell a member of their family that they need some help, because this just seems to be too bizarre a situation for someone to have done without others knowing that he was capable of doing it. I want to welcome Andre and Dee to the show, and we want to just continue to talk to Dee and Andre about domestic violence. We talk all the time about police officers wrongfully killing others, but domestic violence seems to be the worst situation that an officer can be called out on, which potentially has the ability to turn out into a major crime when things get totally out of hand. And it seems to be something that happens across the United States. And here you have a young man who's talking about how much he loved his family and wanted to be with his family, but yet he took the lives of 8 people. And it's hard to understand how an argument or disagreement to find its way into that type of situation. Andre, what are your thoughts about how we are seemingly living with domestic violence and its devastating families and communities?
Well, Superior Sunday to everyone. Dee, hello. Mr. Duche, hello. And all the guests that may be listening in or joining us later. You said something correct, that it seems to be everywhere. It's not designated to particular demographics. It's not specific to any gender. And you're right, the risk of a police officer being called on that type of call is highly dangerous, because even though the victims of the domestic violence may be in danger, in most cases, and I say she, but it could also be a he, but in most cases, the victim don't want to see harm or anything done to the person. It's a strange relationship as it relates to the love factor, but and it's not really love. You have to just understand, you know, what it truly is, because the person may come back later and apologize and won't do it again. But in reality, you said it earlier that you have to have control over your emotions. You have to be able to distinguish between a disagreement and what level to take that disagreement. And we have to also make sure that we pray for the victims to have courage. And I'm just glad that people are now starting to talk about it more often. I know that it's one particular month that's designated for domestic violence. I just don't remember which month it is, but I think you you recognized it on your show and had guest speakers to come. But you're exactly right. Is people have to be accountable, and family members do have to speak up. Not only family members, but friends. And if you truly love a person and you care about a person, you'll tell them, no, you need to get some help. And it may not be just enough to say something about it. In some cases, you have to take the necessary steps to do an intervention.
And you have to be willing to talk to somebody when they're not at the height of their emotion, to talk to them about a pattern of behavior that they have displayed. Because, you know, domestic violence is too widespread for it to be something we talk about once a month. Once a year. It is just a devastating, it has a devastating impact on the lives of the family in a way that can't be corrected, especially if you don't get to it early. And when somebody is willing to punch you in the face and to harm you in a way that requires you to go to the hospital, you have to seek to get some help or get out of that situation, because that's just not normal. What are your thoughts in regards to what seems to be an epidemic related to domestic violence and the how it tends to get to the point where it goes to guns and murder?
Well, good evening again, everybody, and good evening, Ms. Audrey. Nice to hear your voice on the radio, on the phone. Spectacular subject again, James. Like you said, this is something that that goes on far too often, unaddressed. And to dedicate a month or whatever it is to such a problem is an understatement, and more attention needs to be paid to it. You know, domestic violence, especially when it can turn extremely ugly and deadly, is a strange, hate to call it phenomenon, but I can't think of a better explanation. Because you mentioned that one has to stay in control of their emotions when this situation seems to be occurring before you get worse. To stay in control of your emotion is a phenomenal feat during that type of situation. You know, we always hear about when the police are chasing somebody and they shoot somebody, what, a lot of times the person is unarmed. The first excuse that the law enforcement go to is the adrenaline factor. And so, as much credit that is due to that situation, the adrenaline is something to be reckoned with. So, I've had situations in my marriage, not this marriage, this is my third marriage, but in my first marriage, being at the age of 24 at that time, way too young for marriage, my wife and I, we had situations way too young to even know how to deal with those type of things. Very embarrassing. I had a girlfriend in high school who brother was a police officer, and the police officer wife was a police officer also. And you're talking about an earlier situation when they get to Harvard. They both put guns on one another, be flashing them around and stuff like that. So, the humanities class that we always talk about, I'm sure that that would be part of that, that structure in the class, because education is key in this framework. So I would say education is the key to the solution.
Regina, what are your thoughts about the fact that that domestic violence is so widespread, and that it is something that happens a lot amongst teenagers and also in our religious institutions, that it seems to be in every aspect of our existence, there seems to be people who are unable to control their anger and who lash out physically in order to, as a response to different situations.
Good afternoon, good evening. When we're talking about the domestic violence, and I've been listening for just a few minutes, I wanted to make sure that people, that we knew that a family member, that the family members of this person, of the lady, Ms. Godbolt, I believe, that they did intervene. She was staying in the house of her stepfather, and when Mr. Godbolt came to this party or whatever it was they were having, a family member did call the police. And as he was leaving, they thought he was actually leaving peacefully. And then that's when he turned around and opened fire. So it seems as though this family was in the process of doing everything that they could do. Now, I've been involved in a domestic violence incident, and it is so hard in the state of South Carolina. When I went to get a restraining order, I was told that I had to send the perpetrator a letter. They have to sign. They have to sign for the letter.
Certified letter. Certified.
I had to send him a certified letter 3 times to let him know that I did not want him to be near me. This was after this person had physically threatened my life, and I tried to get the police to intervene. So there are some instances where if I didn't have know people, I would have been afraid. I would have been afraid that and not moved forward to press forward with it. Also, there are instances now where I intervened about 2 weeks ago where there are same-sex domestic violence situations. And they keep going back to each other, and they just think that this person cares so much for them. So these are the types of domestic violences that we have to watch out for now also. All I can say is when you first see the signs of domestic violence, get away. Get away. But I don't know how to, you know, help those other than asking them if it's something that I can do and giving them a little bit of advice. But, you know, it's just all over. And people are so easy to carry guns and knives now. Until how do you protect yourself or your loved ones?
Well, you know that we recently had a national situation where a man came on the campus of his estranged wife and murdered her in her classroom and also killed one of the students. And it just seems that for whatever reason, and in most cases it seems to be men, even though we know women can participate in domestic violence, but it seems that men are unable or unwilling to deal with their emotions so that they are able to find other ways to deal with the unhappiness of a relationship ending. And that, you know, my thought is that if anyone creates a situation in your life that leads you to believe that violence is the only way to deal with the situation, then even the man needs to find a way to leave. I mean, if I were involved in a relationship that made me act out of my norm, then I would think that would not be a good relationship for me. And when a man has shown violence in his past, I'm not sure that he should be given an option to display it in his future. Kathy, you know, what are your thoughts about the extreme violence that is seemingly happening across our country when men find themselves ending these relationships? And here we have a situation in Mississippi where 8 people in a family have been killed and 1 officer. And again, it's related to domestic violence.
Good afternoon, everyone. I just think that's a nasty situation. And what do we do? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. I was looking at a post the other day, and it talked about not only domestic violence, but it talked about suicide. And it says afterwards, the people around them said, well, how could we have prevented that? Was there anything that we could have done? I mean, to me, that's just a way of you bringing all this pressure on yourself afterwards. Now, when you're in that situation, this is just how I feel. If you're in that situation and you know people that are going through those things, then that's when you need to begin to talk, get into counseling, get in groups that deal with that type of situation so that you can try to make a difference before something drastic happens. And what happens is we wait until afterwards to begin to talk about it and how can we change this or what can we do. No, we need to do something before. So if we know, we hear, or even see, then we need to take action at that time. I know sometimes people say, don't get involved, but when do you get involved? You don't get involved afterwards. You get involved before, and we need to form groups, you know, around the world, in churches, outside of churches, to try to see what we can do. We can put our thinking caps on to see how we can help to dismantle this evilness that's going on with this domestic violence.
And you're so right. It needs to be, and I believe not only the woman's family needs to get involved, but the man's family needs to get involved in order to protect him from himself. If you know you got an uncle or a cousin or a brother who is shown that he cannot control his emotions, you need to step in and say, look, bro, you know, you're my brother. I don't want anything to happen to you. I don't want you to go to jail. I don't want you to commit suicide. We need to talk about whether or not this relationship is healthy for you, because you're making decisions that are going to create some major problems for you in the future. And not look at it as though it's not your business. You're right. It has to be your business. If you're aware that a family member is participating in domestic violence, you need to go to him and try to help him find a solution that will stop it, because I believe the majority of American families, and I'm just going to go out on a limb because I haven't done a survey, but I just don't think it's normal for a man to find himself in situations periodically when he's slapping or beating someone he supposedly loves. I just don't see that as normal. And we have to recognize that it isn't normal, and if you're participating in it, then you need some assistance.
Not only do they need assistance, but they need therapy. They need someone to talk to, because research has shown that most people who are abusers have been abused in the past. So this is something that has been taken on from an early age up until now, meaning that they abuse others, but the people that they are abusing are sometimes afraid to call upon and get help, because they believe that in their distress that they will be killed or murdered. But, I mean, we need to be more attentive as people. You know, when we're in the midst of other people, so that we can kind of pick up on these things, because, you know, we go around in these circles of people and we're laughing, we're talking, we're doing all these things, but sometimes in the midst of that, there is something going on, and we need to be more attentive. I mean, our spiritual eyes need to be open, and our discerning hearts need to be open so that we can see, because it's around us just as well as it is in all these other places as well.
You're so right. Dee, let me ask you, isn't there a need for men to get to another level, certainly where they love themselves too much to endanger their freedom, to endanger the people they love? I'm not sure what it is, because I've never really found myself in a situation where I have been violent against someone that I supposedly love. But one of the things I would tell my inmates when I worked at the jail was, you got to love yourself too much, or love yourself enough not to put yourself in situations where are not in your best interest. And if a woman requires you to beat her in order to show her love, then you need to go find you another woman.
Jane, that's an excellent question. And I'm glad you brought that up. There's probably no better time to bring that question up as to now. You know, in order for such intervention to happen in that way, a person will have to consider themselves addicted to the behavior of what we're speaking of. Addicted to the adrenaline that it causes, addicted to the feedback that he gets or she gets, addicted to the excitement of initiating such a situation in the first place. First, got to realize that he got a problem in that way. Then, once he realized that he got a problem in initiating such behavior, then he can work at the steps on correcting that. And once he sheds the peel of the onion, the layers of the onion, then he'll be able to find himself, and then he'll be able to love himself. Then he'll be able to screen out persons around him that will cause him emotional harm. He will learn to filter out the people that don't mean him the best of good. He will create barriers around himself to further the goodness that he's looking for. But I want to say something to Ms. George Fack, and which was an excellent explanation of it all. Just like drug addiction, again, there's the issue of denial that both the wife and the husband deals with, and the family members. Denial, or the act of not wanting to get involved, because most times out of none, they seem to get back together once you call the police and then everything is broken up, and they seem to get back together. But I think the best way to intervene, if one wants to do so, is to intervene way early, before the first fight. Whereas, you know, there are signs to where the man will talk down to his wife, say mean things to her, watch her as soon as she is out of his eyesight, show signs of major insecurity. And then when we see that, we get the lady to the side and say, "Girlfriend, can I talk to you a minute," whatever, and to see if she will talk, because she might be in denial about it. She may be fearful that he's going to beat her butt, fight her, should I say. If he was ever to find out that she had been talking to somebody. So there might be a strong fear factor involved. But early intervention and taking the seriousness of it with family members, because I know family members just don't want to get involved. They're going to be back together tomorrow anyway. And so there's a big denial thing going on right there.
And you're so right. There are a lot of people who just don't want to step into it because they find that when they get involved, the female may gravitate back toward the male in terms of protecting him. I know that I've always told my daughter that she always has the right to come back home. Now, she can't bring her lazy friend back home, but she certainly can come home if he's unable to keep his hands off of her and can't keep the lights on. And so those are kinds of things that, you know, your female family needs to always give her a place to come back to. But we also need to be in a position to intervene in the life of the man if he is unable to cope with being in a relationship. And he may need counseling about how to deal with the emotions that he's feeling if he can't handle arguments. I mean, there are going to be arguments and disagreements. Can't win an argument by becoming physical. What are your thoughts about that, Kathy? Our young men need to understand being physical can't be an option.
You're absolutely right, James. But again, I just believe it comes from from their growing up, because most of the times in these particular situations, once they evaluate the person or they begin to have them in therapy, it comes out that they were abused when they were younger. So that's where it comes from, mostly from them being abused. And also this, our social media, the way that everything is right in the open, where, you know, these people are posting these things online. I mean, people pick up those things and they think that it's okay to do that. We need to put something together where they can stop posting this stuff. I know Facebook was doing something where they could stop posting this stuff and our kids can stop seeing this stuff, because as the kids grow up, all they do is repeat what they see. So they think that it's okay, and people are sitting around laughing at it. So they believe that it's okay to hit on a girl. They believe that it's okay to pull a girl's hair. They believe that it's okay because it's being shown in the media, on TV, and even they see it within their surroundings, places that they're going. So, I mean, we as a people need to get together and begin to put an end to that, and I mean, you know, come together and figure out something where this can be stopped, or some kind of legislator need to be put in place where if this happens and you continue to do this, then something is going to happen to you. There are going to be repercussions for your action.
And I think that because it is so prevalent amongst adults, that we need to seek to change the thoughts and habits prior to adulthood, because some of the similar habits are being displayed in teenagers. And so we need to get into these schools and into these churches and into these Boy Scouts and Girl Scout groups and let them know that your hands are not to be used as a means to winning an argument or forcing people to stay in your life, because there is no love that you can receive by mandating it. You cannot dictate or mandate that people love you. If they want to leave, you have to be strong enough and willing enough to allow them to go on their way. Regina, what are your thoughts? You know, you and I are both in the educational realm. How do we get this information into the schools before we create these adult domestic violence situations?
Programs that exist in the high school, thousands of dollars in grant money is available, and many community organizations are going into the schools to give this information. Now, I will say this, and I will say it again and again. There's a huge difference in teaching the information and actually being involved in the situation. You can be taught where to go, but the reality of what happens when you go there is totally different. I knew to go to the police, but the reality of the questions that they asked me, the questions that made me feel as if I had somehow done something wrong. For instance, he has a gun underneath his seat. Oh, and you're just now telling us he has a gun underneath his seat? He has a machete. Oh, and you're just now telling us he has a machete's knife? So not only they have to have the education that they're getting, these young people, but they have to be put into situations where they'll be told other things that they may have to encounter as a result of reporting it. And this will make them stronger because they'll have more information.
Well, you know, I just find it, I have not had a son, and when you're working with young men and trying to get them to be adult men, I just think this is the kind of conversation you have with your son and relating to him that you have to understand the connection you have with the person that you're trying to get involved with, and that if you and that person cannot work through your arguments in a civil fashion, then maybe that's not the person for you. Or if that person can't understand your need for privacy, and when you say you need to go home and be home, and then that person is following you home or demanding to know how much time it takes you to get home or where you've been or where you're going, and wants to control and dictate every part of your life, then that very well might not be the person that you want to have a long-term relationship with. All of those are kind of like clues to what kind of person this might be long-term, isn't it?
Yeah, James, you're right. That is a talk that the father will want to have with his son. Also, that's a talk that the father and maybe the mother, surely the mother, want to have with their daughter going forward when she starts to date, before the daughter brings somebody home for them to meet. The criteria that has been set by the parents for their children. That is in the hope that the parents themselves have some kind of standards in which to live by and some guidelines to go by. But I will make a couple of notes when Miss Kathy was talking. And I wanted to mention that, you know, I do a lot of weddings. I have done a lot of weddings in the way of photography. And depending on the location of the wedding being given, whether it's the rural country or the city, in the wedding vows, sometimes the words are still being put forth in the vows, and the persons have to repeat this to love and obey. And of course, we know that's Old Testament in wedding vows, but some vows are still mentioned in that way. And my point is that some people take that literally all the way to the end. So when they think that's coming out of the Word of God to do that, then they kind of take it all the way to the house. The other point I want to make is domestic violence when it comes to the parents beating up on the kids on Facebook, where the mother, I'm sure you all might have seen it, where the mother was, I think she called the girl in a undesirable situation at home, and the mother beat her bad on Facebook, and it went viral. And so I think that those, all of that sent really bad messages, you know, about getting their attention by using violence to do so. But those are talks that I'm definitely going to have with my son. I'm having that with my oldest son now. He got a girlfriend that really loves him, but he thinks that he got time to still choose. But sometimes we have to help them to make the right choices and let them make their own choices also. But the parents have to be the ones to lead the way if they know how to lead. Thanks.
Kathy, listening to Dee make this statement related to obeying, people just seemingly take that and run with it. And men who want to be dominant over their women seem to use it, religion as a means to dictate how their families are run. But they don't understand that men are supposed to display a love for God in a way that a woman wants to be submissive. You can't demand a woman be submissive. That has to be something she's willing to give you based on the way that you've led your life. And certainly, again, that the onus has to be on the men to live their life in a righteous manner so that their woman will be willing to be submissive to them. Right?
Well, you know, I really think that particular verse, when it's quoted in marriage, is taken out of context, because people say it just to be saying it, and they really don't know what it means. You know, when you're getting married and you're even preparing for marriage, most people don't even go to a counselor. Not saying that you have to, but a counselor before a marriage is great. And the reason I'm saying that, and not everybody does it, and the reason I'm saying that is that there are steps that they take you through right before you get married to tell you what your place is, what your mate place is, how you are supposed to become together, and how it is quoted in the Bible that a man is to love his wife as
as God loves the church. Meaning, if your husband is loving you the way that Christ loves the church, then there's not going to be not even an inch or incline in your mind or heart that you would not submit to your husband. We take submission out of context. Submission doesn't mean that, oh, I'm doing everything this person is saying. No, it's that you are allowing that man to have authority, not even authority, I'm using the wrong word, but you're allowing that man to be the head of the household, meaning that if he says, I want to move north, and you say, oh, I feel we should move west, the end result is that if he says we're moving north, then that's where we're supposed to go, because you are trusting that what he is doing is the right thing to do. So we take these things out of context when we begin to say them in a wedding. Honor your mother and father. That's another one. To death do us part. I mean, people just say that, but they really don't know what they're saying when they're saying that, because that's a long stretch. You never know what's going to happen in your marriage. You don't know if somebody is going to get sick. And if they do get sick, then you are supposed to be there with them 100%. You're not supposed to leave them because they're sick and go find you somebody else as well. So most of that is taken out of context. And it comes with maturity and understanding. So, I mean, I just believe that if it's written in the Word of God, then it is truth, and you need to get an understanding of what it means in order to follow what it says.
And part of the issue, I believe, is just people are just being selfish. In a lot of these relationships, men find themselves wanting to do things that they know is inappropriate, and they want to mandate that it be accepted. And so you have to really honestly look at your behavior and see if your behavior lines up with not just being a Christian or being religious, but is your what you're demanding lines up with being married. And if you're thinking, doing things on a personal level or on a personal in a relationship that don't align up with commitment, then maybe you're not, you don't need to be in that relationship. And see, some people want it both ways, and that's part of what creates the conflict, is that they want a serious relationship with someone, but they want to still live like they're single. Or they want to be married to someone and still live like they're single. And when someone objects to it or just wants to move on, it doesn't have to be that they hate you or dislike you. So it may just be that that person is ready to move on, that they don't no longer see a future with you. And men and women have to be willing to let, Regina, you know, it's just being able to accept that something has come to an end.
I'm listening.
I'm listening, James. It's just all such a, it's just all, just so complicated. I pulled out my laptop, and I'm in the process now, as a result of this conversation, I was reflecting on a conversation that I had with a teacher, and I have to send this email now, because I asked her a simple question: who keeps your children when you're here at work on these days? And she said, well, their daddy came and got them. And then she immediately went into a conversation about her concern for him being able to just walk into the building and walk and look in the rooms and find her classroom. And that, now that we're talking about that, brings up a, and they're going through a divorce. And she also said she was concerned with the building being open very early in the morning, because other teachers need to come into the building, the ones who come very, very early. They leave a door ajar. And she said he could come in at any time. So for her to express that to me has sent a signal to me that this is something I need to address as a part of the administrative staff. And so we've got to start listening with different ears, I'll say. And we've got to listen to the people who are talking to us and look into their eyes and see if we see something in their eyes when they're talking to us, and listen with our hearts and with our minds, because we may just be able to save a life, as I may be getting ready to do right now by sending out this email to my upper staff, because who knows, you know, I don't know. This has been a very eye-opening conversation.
Well, you do know, and based on the other situation that we have where the man came on campus, that it should be an obligation, even though it's personal, that a woman share or a man share that his spouse shouldn't be allowed on campus if they're going through some difficult times, because that man's presence on campus created a situation which was deadly. And so these emotional things that are going through these men and sometimes women's thoughts related to these relationships have to be given, have to be shared with others, so there is an opportunity to intervene and to let, you know, to control situations. Let's go to a break, and we'll come back and continue our conversation.
We got it together, didn't we? We've definitely got our thing together, don't we? Nice. I mean, really, when you really sit and think about it, isn't it really, really nice? I can easily feel myself slipping more and more ways in that super world of my own. Nobody but you and me. We've got it together, baby.
they could have made too. Girl, you're my reality, but I'm lost in a dream. You're the first, you're the last, my everything. You and me, baby.
Just a thought, January 30th, 2017. I am a Democrat. I will be a Democrat beyond the existence of my physical being. I am a liberal because living in the past does not work for those that I serve. I believe in liberal causes because as I better understand the world, I understand the need for change. I live to honor humanity, to serve people who seem unable to grasp the life we should all have. I see the inequity of treatment and desire to see it abolished. The need for the blind to see has never been more necessary. Those who fight for the status quo cling to an era that turns the invisible visible. Embracing wrong can never give one a positive result. The fight for the weak can never be seen as embracing the defeat. We have to rectify the issues that are created by the human trait of racism and supremacy. My God is the creator of all things and the maker of humanity. My view of the world is in line with my purpose as a Democrat. I will not be ashamed of my love for people and the fight to make life equal. We all deserve better opportunities to learn and the chance to live life free of infirmities. We deserve to live free of the creation of Donald Trump. This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection. The show is brought to you 7 days a week, Sunday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 p.m. West Coast Time, Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and 5 p.m. West Coast Time. Call in at 657-383-0309. We no longer can reside in the shadows of life. It is a must that we be out in front of the issues that impact our lives now and in the future. This show has been established for your voice to be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. Please visit my website, www.jamestdeshaies.com. That's www.jamestdeshaies. I look forward to you writing to me at djames82@aol.com. That's djames82@aol.com. Let me know what issues you would like to address on my radio show.
This is James T. Deshaies, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. A number of you who called in have sons, and I know how important it is for your son to know how to treat the woman that he loves and how to resolve conflict without violence. So, Audrey, what would be the key you would share with our audience who has sons who are in relationships that they need to know some key things to do or not do related to resolving conflict?
set the expectation. You talk with your son about the expectation of what's expected. Hopefully you have not only had the conversation and communicated, but you've demonstrated what's acceptable and what's not acceptable. But you also let him know that if indeed it comes a time when you feel that you are out of control, it's at that time that the expectation is for you to be strong enough and have the courage enough to walk away from that situation. You don't put your hands on no one. And even, and I had to drop off, so I don't know if you talked about, even verbal abuse is unacceptable. So, again, when you feel yourself reaching a point where you can't control your anger, at least you feel that you can't, then at that point the expectation is for you to have the strength enough and courage enough to remove yourself from that situation.
Andre, I am so glad that you mentioned verbal abuse. One of the things that I try to make sure that I do that goes beyond physical control, I try never to use profanity, and I never want to call anyone that I love or care for, call them a name. Because if you call a person a name, you can never take that back. And once you get to the point that you're name calling, you've removed yourself from the ability to deal directly with the confrontation because you've made it personal. And so I think it's real important that people learn to control themselves to the point where they never use profanity and they never call people names. Cassie, what do you think about that, learning to discipline yourself so that you don't have to go around saying you're sorry for things that you allowed to come out your mouth?
I totally agree with you on that, James, and Andre, for everything that she said. I just double piggyback on those things as far as your sons are concerned, and I personally try to mirror in front of my sons the way a lady is supposed to act and react to a man. So there's no, you know, overpowering what he says or even any type of arguments, you know, to take it to another level. And I also, as well, talk to them, you know, about conversations. And if they do get into any type of confrontation where, you know, it is with the woman, man, or whoever it is, that they should just be silent, you know. And if they can, walk away, because it takes to argue, and they say a fool can only argue with himself if you don't say anything, but two fools are arguing back and forth amongst one another. So, you know, anything that I can say to help them to de-escalate a situation is where I am, and not only them, but other teenagers that I see, you know, just to be a model to them, to show them the opposite of what it is that they see a lot of out in the streets and also on TV.
And, people have to learn that there is nothing positive that's going to happen once you introduce violence. I mean, there is absolutely nothing positive that can come out of a connection once violence has been introduced to it.
Well, you're right, James. And, you know, I think that we got a lot of material that we can use as examples. Too frequently, and things are happening week after week, month after month. And so we can pick and choose any example that we want to out of the news clippings on YouTube to use as a teaching tool when it comes down to questioning and answering, getting our young kids involved to better show them how one should act in the situation. But I think one of the strongest attributes that we can work on ourselves is the to think of self-control day after day, implementing self-control in our own lives. When it comes down to control our tongue or getting emotionally disturbed about what we read on the television or the news that goes on every day. You know, but before the break, you said something, James, and we all said about how hard it is to do this one word, and that word is to itself. That's a hard thing to do for us to come to a level of acceptance. And the other thing that we have to do, and this is actually worse, going toward domestic violence. In most every case that I've seen and that I've been involved in, but I've learned to do better, is to allow a person to be themselves who they want to be, to allow the other person to move on, if they choose to move on, without me intervening and trying to impose my will or the other person's will on them the way I think that they should do. So learning to allow a person to be themselves is the way to go. I want to give kudos to Ms. Regina. And James, you know, we always said that your show cover a lot of stuff. And one of the things that we covered early in the year was, what would you do when your number is called? And see, that's how important your show is to me, because we cover a lot of bases, and it goes full circle, and it comes back. And so when Ms. Regina has the situation with one of her staff members, you know, those are the early signs. Those are the early signs, and the woman did tell somebody. And that is actually a cry for help, you know, in the early stages. And, like, we've had the model of when the man went to the school and shot his wife and killed the child there at the schoolyard on the property of the school. That's a model in itself that, you know, it will happen. It has happened. And it's going to happen again. But when a person comes, has the opportunity, has the window of opportunity to reach out and tell that person what she can tell them before that window closes, that's the time to act. Thanks.
You're so right. We're going to take another break, and we're going to come back and have our final word. So everybody get prepared. We're going to take a break and come back and have our final word for the end of the show. James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. Kathy, what is your final thought for today?
My final thought is, please remember Sunday is Gospel Day, and you're supposed to be playing gospel music. That's my final thought.
Kathy, you should have said that to me before. You know I don't have the greatest memory in the world, and certainly I have forgot all about it until you mentioned it. So maybe you need to text me on Sundays to remind me, and I will definitely follow suit. I did not mean any disrespect, because I know you've told me that in the past, so I appreciate that. So I'm sorry, and I'll try to adhere to the right music selections on Sundays in the future. Regina, what is your final thought for today?
I don't have any. I'm good. Have a good evening.
You're a mess. You,
yep,
okay.
I
All
am,
right.
aren't I?
Okay. Dee, what is your final thought for today?
My final thought is today for in the subject matter of domestic violence. If you choose to get involved, early intervention is the way.
Well, guys, I'm going to go on record, and I know I've told you this before, but I spent the last 10 years of my teaching career working with inmates and helping them get their GED. And I just think there are a lot of people across the country who find themselves locked up as a result of participating in domestic violence. And whatever assistance that we can give the man or woman that keeps them from destroying their families and destroying their lives, we need to do. And it does not always mean putting your life in jeopardy, but you do need to be proactive in trying to make sure that you say the right thing or do the right thing or introduce them to the right person so that their lives have a chance to be saved, because there are too many lives being destroyed and devastated by domestic violence. And that's my final word for this evening. I want to continue to thank all of you for your continued support. This is a platform for us to have the opportunity for our opinions to be heard loud and clear, and we must make sure that we make a difference in the lives of the people that we value. And too many of our young people are finding themselves destroyed by crazy decisions that are made during emotional times. Take care, everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time.
In this political environment, we have to create a way for the people to have a voice. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is a platform that is open to people who want to expand their personal thoughts, issues, and concerns to a larger audience. The host, James T. Deshay, would like you to have an opportunity to co-host with him on very important topics of all kinds. These topics should have value to people across the country and come with a meaningful solution. All co-hosts could be considered for a monthly return date to promote businesses at a low cost that need an outlet. We are seeking to make it easy for entrepreneurs, public organizations, physicians, and others to get important information out to the general public. Thoughts, Love, and Reflections is on 7 days a week, Monday through Friday at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time, Saturday and Sunday at 8 o'clock p.m. Eastern Time. Call into the show at 657-383-0309. If you are interested in exploring being a co-host, please email the staff at tlreflectionsjtd@gmail.com. The show is committed to turning the tides on the normal media platforms while giving a voice to the people. If you would like to be considered for a monthly co-host slot, call 407-394-9819.
My heart is filled with joy that can't be described. Your presence has driven my passion to a place I am unable to return. Now my life is filled with the happiness of our days to come. I now seek to recreate the love you have given me so that you will know the unlimited source of joy you have provided in my spirit. My days and nights will be spent trying to insert the same love into your heart. No longer will my days be used to capture that which I already have in you. My life now is focused on showing my gratitude to those who helped to create your wonderful spirit for me. I am the true recipient of the magic within you. The harmony that exists in us will be an example for others to emulate. The enchantment that is in us will be displayed in every step we take. Our journey will be one of pure and perfect love. This is James T. Deshay, the host of Thoughts, Love, and Reflection, brought to you by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network. My show is on from Sunday to Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, 3 o'clock West Coast Time, on Saturdays at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, and 5 o'clock West Coast Time. It is time for your voice to be heard loud and clear. So please call in at 657-383-0309. It is time to be part of a movement that is using the technology we have to let our voices be heard loud and clear and unfiltered. On my show, your voice will be heard, respected, and appreciated. It is time for us now to take control. Please visit my website, jamestdeshay.com. That is jamestdeshay.com. I look forward to you calling into my show at 657-383-0309 at 6 p.m. Eastern Time, Sunday through Friday, and 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Saturdays. Take care.